Good morning. If you've been following along with our daily devotionals, you have taken in a lot of teaching this week about partnership. We thought the best thing that we could do with our teaching time this morning is just to let you hear from the real life experience of some of our LifeWay partners. So this week, we ask four mission partners who came out of LifeWay to come and share their perspective with us. Here is some of that conversation. Why don't you guys start by taking just a moment or two to let people know who you are and how you have been connected with LifeWay.
My name is Scott and my family joined LifeWay, I think it was late 1998 or early 1999. Anyway, I was a senior in high school and it was a really important time for me to connect with this church and just have open doors to be in fellowship and to start serving. And very shortly after that, I started helping out with youth group, and that's how I first got started in the community at LifeWay.
I really had no choice in the matter. My dad is Billy Arnold, so I've grown up here and was raised here and was called by God here and was sent out from here. So,
yeah. I started coming here, I think, when I was in Cubbies in Awana. And we lived 7 minutes down the road, so I was in all of the kids ministry and youth group, and yeah, just really grew up here.
Well, my name's Don Turner, and I was part of the original founding of LifeWay Church when we came together as two congregations. Billy Arnold and I worked together in those early years, and then worked here for several years after that.
Right. Why don't you let people know what ministry you are doing now? Each one of you are working full-time in missions, and so why don't you share with the LifeWay family just where you're working and what you're doing, and maybe just a little bit of the path of how you got there.
Diane and I serve with the International Mission Board in Eastern Europe, and we are coordinating efforts for church planting. So we've been learning a lot about what it means to coordinate efforts for church planting. It really encompasses all aspects of the mission. So entry, so being sent, going into new places, sharing the gospel, drawing people into discipleship, forming new churches and training up new leaders, and being sent out again.
Yeah, so we really got involved in this ministry in Eastern Europe through LifeWay's involvement in the ministry in Eastern Europe. So back in like the year 1999 or 1998, some local immigrants living in this city approached my dad's church, Palisades Church at the time, and invited them to gather a team together to go to Eastern Europe and to lead children's camps. And so that's really how we got involved in the work, is doing that one time, and then two times, and then three times, and like fast forward all these years, and now we live there. So,
Rachel, what about you?
Yeah, my husband Kevin and I are working towards moving to Austria to work with Middle Eastern refugees that are coming into the country. And there's a team there called the House of Hope that will join and just help them adjust to life in a new country. So we are currently support raising and are hoping to be able to move soon. In the meantime, we're working with the youth ministry here at LifeWay, though. So, yeah.
Well, I work for an organization called Global Focus. And our ministry is very different than the ministry of the rest of these. You know, they're primarily about evangelism and church planting. We work with existing churches. And our ministry is designed to help churches become engaged in missions themselves at a higher level. And so we coach churches for about a year and a half. And at the end of that, the goal is that they will be able to give more to missions, pray more for missions, and send more people into missions. We do that in countries all over the world. We're actively engaged right now in Southeast Asia, in Eastern Europe, in South America, Central America, and North America.
Okay. And how did you kind of get involved with that?
Well, I got involved in that because at this church, we brought Global Focus in, and they helped us become more engaged in missions. And as I watched it work, I thought, boy, this is something that more and more churches need. And I was invited to join the team. And so I made that move simply because I know how important missions is, not just to reaching the lost, but to the health of the local church.
Each one of you guys are living or have worked in other cultures. What are some of the big cultural differences you've seen, or have you had any, you know, funny cultural moments since you've been engaged with those new cultures?
I have a lot. I have a lot of mistakes that I've made, you know, to varying degrees. But I think the most frustrating, I'll just tell you the most frustrating, and you can laugh at me. But there are words in our language that sound very similar to each other but have vastly different meanings. And that's true probably in a lot of languages, in English too. But in this particular day, we were living in a part of the city where there were not a lot of grocery stores. And so we had just moved to our city, you know, trying to figure out that, like, public transportation, and we don't have a car, and so we're like trying to figure out, how do you get groceries? Like, obviously you have to buy less because you're bringing all those things in your hands, and so it's like logistically very challenging for an American who grew up with a car, you know. But so I got in the bus, I go to the grocery store, I buy all these groceries, I buy way too much because, you know, in America we buy like mass amounts of groceries, and then we don't go to the grocery store for like a week, and that's just not what our people do. But so I bought all these groceries, and I have them in my hands, and I'm like hobbling to get out to the bus stop because I had already purchased too much. And I get on the bus, and the conductor of the bus is like yelling at me. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? Everybody gets off the bus, and I'm sitting there, and I ask her in my, you know, broken language, I'm asking her, does the bus go further? And she says what I think is the word, of course. Of course! Like that, like super aggressive. And I'm like, okay, I don't know why she has to say it like that. So I just keep on sitting there, kind of looking around. Nobody else is on the bus, and she's sitting there looking at me like I'm a total idiot. And I'm just like, she keeps on yelling, of course, of course. And I finally, I just get off the bus, and I walk home with like 50 pounds of groceries in my hands. And I'm just like, I get inside, and I'm so mad at that point, just thinking, what is wrong with these people? Like, they are so unkind. They don't even know what I've been through, you know. Well, we were discussing it later on with Scott, and he's like, you know, I think she might have said the word for end, like the last stop on the bus, which sounds exactly the same as the word for of course. And I was just like, that's just one of those moments that humbles you. You just kind of go, you know, I don't have control. I'm just going to like try to really be flexible here, but very frustrating. So that's my story.
One of my experiences was actually at one of the camps that I got to visit with Scott and Diane. And I was in one of the cabins where all the girls were sleeping, and I was the only American in there, and I realized, I think it's time to wake up, but everyone's still sleeping. So it was one of those misunderstandings, and I was like, I'll do something fun, and I'll just start like singing, and then they'll wake up. And I misunderstood what time they were supposed to wake up, and so the other counselors in the room were like, shh, don't wake them up. And so, yeah, I just misunderstood. But that was it. It was pretty funny now, though.
Not funny for those who are waking up, but...
A lot of people have a really idealized idea of what missionary life really looks like and what a missionary does each and every day. What does daily life look like for you in your missions context?
Well, for us, we live actually in a really big city. So it's more urban than what we're used to living in the States. So we live right next to a bus stop and a subway station, and so you can use public transport to get around the city, and high-rise apartments where we're living, so you down the first floor are grocery stores or cafes or different shops and things like that. So our day kind of looks like a lot like what you might picture someone in full-time ministry in the States. Morning times can be individual meetings or very small group meetings that of people that can meet in the first part of the day, if we're talking about weekdays. And then in the evenings, it's a chance to get larger groups together, whether it's for a bigger Bible study or an outreach event or something like that. So for the most part of our year, we're sort of in the rhythm of the academic school year. Most people are working or going to school, and our life kind of fits in to that rhythm of the city life. And then summertime, which starts towards the end of April into the end of, end of May through the summer months and into the end of August, where you can do really fun things like a bigger project, like a camp, or having a lot of guests come from overseas and join you for a project. So we work together with the national partners to set goals for the year, and then on a monthly basis we try to revisit those goals, make plans, what needs to happen this month to share the gospel more, to train more leaders, to start more groups, and move toward church planting. So we have daily rhythms that we do, weekly, monthly, and then the seasonal things that are part of our life there too.
So we haven't moved there yet, but I've gotten the chance to see what day-to-day life looks like for the team in Austria, and they have just different classes offered every day for the refugees to be a part of, and then a lot of it is meeting people in homes for meals or for tea. There's staff meetings, a lot of what you guys said too, a lot of like full-time ministry in the States, and just getting to know people, building relationships in lots of different ways. So it's cool to see all the different opportunities through like learning German or learning guitar or playing soccer. There's just so many ways. But yeah, it doesn't feel much like a sprint. It's more just day to day and getting to know people.
Well, so in your cultures where you're working or where you're living, have you found people to be more or less open to spiritual conversations or open to considering trusting in Christ? And what are some of the ways that you start some of those conversations with people?
For me, I think an open door is always, as an American, having gone to another country, people are interested, why are you here? And so always that's an open door, sort of to navigate that question depending on who's asking it. But to be able to share my story, who I am, and what would draw me to move overseas and live in a different place. When many people from that country are trying to move to America or some other country looking for a better life, why would I go to their country? So I find that because there's a curiosity about me, initial curiosity about me, leads to open doors for me to share the gospel with people.
Yeah, in my work, I tend to work with churches more. However, I will tell you, in my travels in Indonesia in particular, which is the world's largest Muslim country, I was really struck by how easy it is to find people to talk about Jesus. It's easy to talk to people. Now, getting them to agree with you may be a completely different issue, but engaging the conversation in much of the Muslim world is actually fairly easy.
In your travels or in your conversations wherever you've been, what do you sense people are longing for? And how do you explain to them that Jesus fulfills that longing for them?
I definitely think most people have this need, but they're not able to necessarily put their finger on what it exactly mm-hmm. is. And so they end up looking in all different kinds of places to meet that need, but they're looking, it's kind of like that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. It's a little bit like that, in my opinion, where it's like, you got this longing to be with your Creator in your heart, but you would never be able to verbalize it specifically in that way. And so you end up putting, you know, all kinds of value on, like in my context, for women, a lot of times it's like, if I can just get married, you know, I'll be good, you know? And then they get married and they're like, well, that's not true. And so then it's like, if I could just have a baby, like, it doesn't even matter who, you know, if I have a husband or not, if I can just have a baby, like that is my duty, you know? And then, you know, that's not going to fill that hole either. And I think that's very human. I don't think that has anything to do with culture. You know, that's just kind of, you know, that hole that you don't necessarily, you can't put your finger on what your problem is until maybe someday somebody shares what your problem is and then you're able to put your finger on it. But
I have a friend who lives here in Kent who's a refugee from the Middle East, and I talk with her once a week, started as ESL, and we've just continued talking. And this last week it just sounded like she needs hope and she wants to hear good news. From her country, all she hears is bad news, bad news. She wants to hear good news, and she wants to feel safe. Those are the main things that I hear her saying, and so I'm looking forward to the opportunity to bring Jesus into that, because he offers all those things, and that's what I hear. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Each one of you either grew up at Lifeway or have been a part of it since near the very beginning. What about your experience with Lifeway helped lead you into full-time missions?
I almost feel like it's cheating a little bit if I answer this question, because all of you know my father. But no, but I will say that when I share my testimony, living in the home of somebody who is a Christian, not just in words, but really, like, waking up early, reading their Bible every day. We talk about spiritual things. My parents were always very comfortable talking about spiritual things, talking about the Bible at home, and always having people live with us, in different sorts of circumstances. Growing up in that kind of environment, it really helps you to not just kind of read what a Christian is and be like, oh, that's good, maybe I'll do that someday, but to really live that out in a real way. That was hugely impactful for me.
Yeah, I always found, since our family joined Lifeway, that there were always just open doors to participate and serve, and our family was just welcomed in to help in Sunday school or help in youth. And then starting going on overseas mission trips just became so normal because of that open door. And then at one point when I was 22, I was like, I think I want to go and live overseas for a year and work with our partners and maybe learn the language and figure it out. Am I crazy? And the church was like, yeah, maybe, but we want to pray for you. We want to help you do that. So the church has always been a place where I always felt ultimately welcomed and welcome to serve and be part of what's going on, and equipped and loved and cared for.
Yeah, I was invited by this church to experience Eastern Europe and to be a part of what Lifeway was already doing when I was 12 years old. And this church supported me and encouraged me to do that and to go back 8 times and to be a part of the work that was happening there. And that really just showed me how God could use me anywhere in the world, if I'm faithful and I follow him, and if I'm backed up by the church, which I was and am. That's been amazing, and I'm just really thankful for all that I've been able to experience and learn through this church and through you guys.
What advice would you give to people at Lifeway who want to tell others about Jesus but don't really know where to start?
Mm-hmm. Incarnate the gospel. Become good news to somebody. If you're struggling to find an open door, then find some way to become good news to somebody, and sooner or later the door will open and you'll have an opportunity to proclaim the good news. So if you're struggling, just start incarnating the gospel.
Yeah, prayer is step number one when you talk about people that you have contact with. Even people that you don't necessarily have contact with on a regular basis, maybe you're just walking up to somebody on the street, we do that sometimes, and super nerve-wracking, but at some point you just kind of you gotta bite the bullet. I feel like God, well, first of all, you have to recognize God's calling, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share the gospel with this person. There's really no way getting around just actually doing it. What gives me joy about Christ? Ultimately, that's what you end up sharing. What did God save me from? That's what you end up sharing. And so sometimes it's just for me, I don't know about other people, but for me, it's just I go out and get all pumped up, and then I have to do that a lot, just because I don't know why. Sometimes it can be so hard. There's so many, there's such a spiritual battle in that, and there can be even shame sometimes in that. We can have shame. We can feel feelings of shame because of Christ, and that's not from the Lord. So, sometimes it just takes that kind of you go out and do it. You get pumped up for the game.
I think if you're doing it in a community of people that are also believing in that, striving for that, don't just be one person out there randomly sharing the gospel, but be in your church community where the gospel is preached and taught, and we're growing in the gospel and reflecting on the gospel. If I can share the gospel, that means I know what it is. That means, hopefully, that means it's changed my life and I have a testimony, like you're saying, of how it's changed me. If I don't feel like I can share the gospel, maybe that means I don't really know what the gospel is, and I really need to get into that and dig in and make sure I know what it is, and why is this good news, and why do I have this feeling that I should be telling people about it? So working through those issues, but doing that in the community, and joining a team. Whatever that team's focus is, you know, if it's children and your youth, or social ministries out on Highway 99, or if it's going overseas, but be a part of a team and do it together with that team. And I think you'll see fruitfulness in that. And we need to rely on God's power to do that. And God is good. He blesses our efforts when we attempt to share the gospel.
So the first topic that we looked at in this week's devotionals was partnering in purpose. Having come out of our church and knowing our church really well, what advice would you give to Lifeway as we try to help people share Christ right here in our own community?
I think what I would like to say to Lifeway, starting by saying it to the leadership of Lifeway, the same thing I would say to churches abroad and churches where we're serving overseas, is that it's our responsibility as leaders of the church to coordinate efforts, we can have collective efforts to respond to the needs of our communities, our neighborhoods, and our city. And so informing people about needs and opportunities and helping them connect onto teams to do that gospel work, helping people discover their gifts and attempt to serve with those gifts and find their calling, you know, locally and wherever God will take them as they pursue their calling. So, and always, I think, seeking with sort of a spirit of curiosity, what does God have for us next? I would want to see a really dynamic faith community coming together to celebrate what God is doing through the community and standing up again with faith to face the next challenge and what's going to come next. So there's an information process that needs to take place to inform people on what we're going to try to rally and do together, and a coaching and pastoral thing that we need to help people do to get into a team and grow in their faith and use their gifts.
And I think ultimately, you know, and this is true for everybody kind of cross-culturally, like if you're not spending time in God's Word, you're not going to have the tools that you need to do the thing that God has called you to do. And so that's when your sharing of the gospel really suffers, is when you stop reading God's Word. And so you have like no... Yeah, you just don't have any tools that you need to. You start forgetting things. You start listening to sources that aren't from God's Word. And all these thoughts are coming up in your mind, and they start floating around, and you're getting distracted. And then you're listening to lies, and you're agreeing with them. But if you're firmly in God's Word, you will have what you need. You'll be able to pour out into other people because God is speaking to you every day and you're spending time with Him every day.
If I was to encourage our youth right now, or just anyone who is my age, when I first was excited about going cross-culturally to share the gospel, I would just say start where you are and use what you have and trust the Lord and follow Him. And yeah, just to keep it simple, you can find ways now to be a light in your areas.
We've also this week talked about partnering in prayer, partnering in giving, and partnering in going. How have you experienced Lifeway's partnership in those areas in your own ministries?
Well, I can say that Lifeway has been one of the most substantial financial partners to Global Focus over the last 5 to 6 years, and we're indeed very, very grateful for that. But I also know that in this body of believers are a strong cadre of people who pray for what we do. We consider Lifeway to be one of our most substantial partners, and we just simply wouldn't be able to do our ministry without it.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have prayer partners in this church, and that's, I don't think it's something that can be really undervalued. That's a huge part of ministry, and we really depend on those prayers, honestly. Lifeway does give to the International Mission Board and the Cooperative Program, which cooperative program supports several different organizations, but the International Mission Board is one of those organizations. So in different ways, LifeWay supports the work that we do. And obviously, we've had so many teams come from LifeWay and come and join our work and our ministry, and so that's always just a huge blessing to us and to the people in our country, too. And
Yeah, LifeWay is not only our home sending church, but it's our number one strategic partner that's helping us support our work in a personal level, in a pastoral level, and in a partnership level. And every year, we are given a gift from LifeWay to support the ministry projects that we do. So LifeWay is giving us resources to do the work, and then year after year, sending teams and volunteers to come at different times of the year. That's been a massive encouragement to us, and it's a joy for us to extend that partnership. And we know that in coming years, that our work overseas is going to expand and multiply. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be sending back to LifeWay opportunities to pray about and consider coming to join us on a short-term trip or a midterm trip or wherever God might lead that.
Yeah, so LifeWay has really sponsored us in so many different ways, just even for us personally, supporting us to be on the field, but also individual projects. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it was important to add that. So.
Yes.
Because those things are separate.
If you could give LifeWay just one message, one parting message for this GIC, what would you tell LifeWay?
There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And between COVID and politics and all the stuff that goes on, I think there's a tendency for people, and therefore churches in this particular moment, to become very introspective and very inwardly focused. Don't allow it to happen. The only really healthy church is an outwardly focused church. And don't allow this church to become inwardly focused. Instead, keep your eyes on the purpose. And missions is the purpose. That's why Jesus Christ left us here. And so keep your eyes on the purpose and don't quit until it's done.
Yeah, I'd say just to lean in if there's anything that you find from this GIC or from before that you're passionate about, that God has laid on your heart, gifts that you have and that you're realizing you have and want to use, to lean into that and to do it and to make the most of the time, because we don't know how much we have and we can make the most of it, and we should, and there's still always going to be a need for the gospel. And all of us are called to do it, and it can look different for everybody, but it's needed from all of us.
I realize that I totally agree with you, Dawn, that like when problems start happening, even on an individual level, not even just on a church level, mm-hmm. on an individual level, we tend to be more in, like looking inward, and I get that, you know, we got issues, so we got to work through those things. But the truth is, there are so many places in the world where, like, people are dying every day without the gospel. They will die and go to hell. That's the that's just the reality of the world that we live in. And if you're okay with that as a believer who has been saved by Christ, that's scary. You can't be okay with that. You can't be comfortable with that. And if you look at that map, don't let it just be territory or mountains or deserts. Look at that map and let it be people and start praying about that.
I think we've seen LifeWay grow year after year in our collective calling to be the body of Christ and to have long arms to embrace the world and go places that we never thought we would go. And so this year, in a very different kind of way, we're again having our celebration. We're celebrating these things. We want to glorify God and worship Him and see what He has done and how He is at work in the world. And seeing LifeWay grow to be more missional year after year, we might say something like, God has a mission for His church. And we're just like, yes, amen, God has a mission for His church. But something that we've been talking about and sharing with other churches as we've been back in the States, there's a better way to say that And I think we want to say God has a church for his mission. The church is for God's mission. And the church is the body that does the work to accomplish God's mission. And so we've been entrusted with that, and it's a great honor, and it's a great challenge. And God will accomplish what he sets out to do. So, yeah, just, I think we need to band together and just be all in, you know, push it all onto the table and say, take it all. And have the courage and the faith to dream with God, see what he wants to see. And the church is a new creation, and it's the only thing that will ultimately live forever. You know, this new creation that was never there until Christ came, and Christ gathered people into this new covenant. And so we get to be part of that. And so I think we should never lose that feeling of awe before standing before God in this mission that we can't do, but God can do it, and he wants to do it through us. So we're so proud to be here for this. And in these days and at this time, God will be glorified.
Thank you guys so much for being here with us as a part of our JIC and for being our partners in doing this work that God's called us to. Thanks so much.
It was so good to hear from people in our own Lifeway family who have given themselves full-time to God's great mission. I hope you were inspired and encouraged by their words.
Now we come to the time in our GIC where we as a church family make commitments to the Lord. We've spent the week learning about partnering in purpose, partnering in prayer, partnering in giving, and partnering in going. Hopefully, you've also spent the week praying and seeking God's direction in how he would like you to commit to his mission in new ways this year. This is the time when you get to make those commitments and share them with Lifeway.
And you don't have to share them with Lifeway so that we can come after you or make you follow through. These are commitments that you're making to God, not to us. We ask that you share them with us for a couple of different reasons.
First of all, so that we can pray for you and support you in any way that we can. We want you to succeed in following God in whatever he's called you to do. As your church family, we want to help you and encourage you.
Next, we want to make sure that we follow up and connect you to the opportunities that you're interested in. If you want to try out a group or connect with a local ministry or try a new prayer resource, we want to make sure that you get connected.
Finally, it's for our planning. Even though we won't ever come ask you for anything you've committed to, we do plan our missions budget and schedule things based on your commitments.
So, overall, we hope that you have taken some time to consider these things, to pray, to talk as a family, and really commit to the things that you've marked down.
For those of you who may not be a regular part of the Lifeway family, you are still welcome to make commitments to God in the areas where he's leading you. If you want to share them with us, you're still welcome to do that too.
So how is this going to work this year? Well, most of you are taking part in this service from home. So we're obviously not going to hand physical cards like we've done in the past. Fortunately, we've been able to completely recreate this year's commitment card so that you can respond online.
I want to walk you through this process, and then we're going to give you a little bit of time to do this individually or as a family. The first thing you're going to do is go to our GIC webpage at www.lifewayconnect.com/GIC. Next, you're going to scroll down to the bottom of the page where it says Commitment Card. When you get there, you're going to click View the Commitment Card. It will take you to this Commitment Card page. If you're ready to share your commitments with Lifeway, you can just scroll down and start filling things in. You'll notice that the commitment card is arranged in sections that match our partnership themes for the week. The first two are partnering in purpose and partnering in prayer, where you'll see several options for growing in these areas. Next, you'll see partnering in giving. If you commit to give to the faith commitment offering, you can know that 100% of these funds will go outside the walls of Lifeway toward our mission partners or helping people engage outside the walls. You can commit to a one-time gift or monthly gifts for the coming year. Finally is partnering and going. In this section, you can express your interest in going, whether that's locally or somewhere farther away. At the end of all of that, you'll just click submit, and your form will be sent to me so that we can help you get connected to the right people and groups.
So, pull out your phone or your device and share those commitments with us as we now play this song. If you are not ready to do this right now, just spend this time praying. And you can come back to this form next week or the week after. In past years, we've had our visiting missionaries pray for each person or family as they shared their commitment. Today, we're going to end this time of commitment with a prayer from our partners that you heard and shared with us this morning on this panel earlier. So join us now as we sing this song.
So take this time as we sing another worship song to do exactly what Heather and Billy challenged us to do. And for those in the room, you don't have to pull out your phone and do that now, but just pray about what God is asking you to commit to this week. And then go home and fill out that commitment card. But let's just worship together and sing through this.
In deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Her feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You never fail, and you won't stop. Deeper than my presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a time of worship. Thank you for allowing us to hear from our partners in missions. And thank you for challenging us, Lord, to be a partner in our own way and however you're calling us to partner, Lord, today. And I pray that you again be with the hearts of each and every person that's listening, God, and challenge us to commit in the way that you want us to commit. Lord, we love you and we're so grateful for you and we're so grateful that we are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to sing one more song and there's a video afterwards, prayer video. And so we're going to just sing one more song now, but just a shortened version of This is Amazing Grace. And just too, as a reminder for those that call Lifeway home, please continue to give to the ministries here at Lifeway. You can do that in many, many different ways, online, mailing a check, bringing it by the church. But just remember to continue to give in your tithes and offerings, and then also to commit and pray about what God is having you to commit to the faith commitment offering as well this week. So I just pray that we do that. And yeah, so let's stand together. If you're in the room, we're going to sing This is Amazing Grace. And then we'll end with the missionaries, as Billy mentioned earlier, the missionaries praying over Lifeway Church. And that will be our closing for the day. So let's, This is Amazing Grace.
Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Sing for all that you've done for me.
All right, so thank you for being here. Let's watch this video together as our missionaries pray for us.
God, we come to you in prayer and we worship you. You are our God. We thank you, God, that you have found us and drawn us in and given us a place in your house. We thank you for Christ who has saved us and his sacrifice that is more than enough for our forgiveness and our restoration and reconciliation with you. We celebrate you, God. We celebrate what you have done for us. And we celebrate what you are doing around the world today. We come to you as a church, unified in our calling for your mission. And we ask you, God, to bless us.
We thank you for this family, this body that you've brought together in your perfect will for your purposes. And we just ask that we would continue to grow in love, that our love for you, for each other, and for the world would abound more and more. And we pray that our hearts would just long to reach others with your truth and with your hope and with the gospel.
Lord, I do pray for the people today that are making commitments to you, whatever that may look like for them, Lord. I just pray that you would give them clarity in that calling, Lord, that you would give them confidence in that calling, Father, and that you would provide for them in any ways that they need to be provided for in order to accomplish the task that you put before them. Lord, we know ultimately that the work of the gospel is your work, Lord, and we are just so humbled to be able to work for you and to be able to share your truth with the world, Lord.
And Father, I pray that as we give in response to your great gift, I pray that you would use those resources, you would use our abilities for the maximum extent possible to advance the cause of Jesus Christ in the world. Father, as we seek to love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, that we would be lights in this world, used for your purposes. We ask it all through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.